Thank you for joining us today for a discussion on creating a remote learning environment that focuses on relationships and keeping students engaged. My name is Renee Martinez, and I'm with the CDE Office of Blended and Online Learning. And today we're pleased to have two online school leaders with us for our Q&A session. Nicole is the head of school for a network of online schools in the state, and Sheila is a principal of an online school within our state. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Nicole and Sheila to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Nicole Tiley. I've been working in online education since 2008, and I'm very happy to share tips and tricks with what we learned work well for creating student relationships and engagement in an online setting.
And hi, I'm Sheila Stevens. I'm the high school principal at Colorado Preparatory Academy. I've been online since 2005. Before that, I was in the classroom teaching brick and mortar class setting. And I'm thrilled to be here and excited to provide some tips and tricks for our teachers and principals as they endure the new change.
Great, thank you. Thank you too. So I'll go ahead and start with our questions or some questions for you. One is just like, as educators, most of us started our teaching career in the traditional setting. As an educator going from that traditional environment to the online remote environment, what was the biggest challenge you faced in transitioning to a virtual environment?
I think one of the biggest challenges really taking everything that we did in the classroom and then transferring it into online. And with that, it takes some time, but really all the key things that we did in the classroom, it really does transition well online with really set directions and really set procedures in place.
I think one of the biggest challenges was not seeing the students face-to-face or their emotions every day. So I'm really trying to think outside the box. One way that we've overcome that challenge is to make sure that we have an organized call plan and a connection plan so that we can still build relationships with students. And the nicest thing that I found when we were transitioning from when I was a brick and mortar teacher to an online teacher is I got to know the families as well through those phone calls and outreach, talking to them about what's working well, what can we do better. And I think that was the biggest implementation too. When our high school staff went to an organized call plan, they really got to know the kids better. And I think that is one of the biggest tips, is making sure that you're reaching out and thinking outside the box to build those relationships and connections.
Yes, definitely. It sounds like just thinking in different ways and how to translate what you've taken from that traditional environment into the online setting is definitely very helpful. And then also keeping those communication lines open, it sounds like. So going to communication, it's very important, especially when you're not seeing your students face to face. What other recommendations do you have related to communications?
So with our team, what we do is we also do affirmations and kudo calls to our students, and that also can look even through email as well. The other things that we're doing and we consistently do each month with our students is we actually have Student of the Month as well, and we do have a lot of opportunities for the kids to be highlighted either inside classrooms, and then we have social clubs. We have like lunch with the principal, and we also have a really strong advisory program where they're really meeting one-on-one with the kids as well.
I think just starting out with just encouraging the districts with moving from seeing kids every day face-to-face to the new remote learning that the districts are challenged with at this time is making sure that there is one contact person, either the homeroom teacher or a lot of the high schools have advisories that we have visited before. Making sure there is that one person who champions the student. Every student needs a champion. They need to know that, yes, even though you're a remote learner, I'm going to check up on you and I'm going to notice if you don't engage for a week. I'm going to keep calling, texting, trying to think outside the box of ways to make sure that we are engaging the non-engaged students, reaching out and saying, hey, I know you're not engaged. What supports do you need? Is your internet working at home? Do you need us to help provide free internet sources? What can I do to make sure that I'm helping you be a successful remote online learner? And creating a tracking system too One thing that we've implemented that if students receive 5 phone calls or outreaches from a teacher and that teacher isn't able to connect with the student or the family, we have our student support team, which is school counselors, advisor teachers, and also social workers, reach out to those families as well to check up on that student. So I think the biggest recommendation right now in transitioning to remote learning is picking up the phone and making sure to connect with kids that maybe seem to be lost right now, because we want to make sure that they're safe and that we're able to provide resources if their family needs resources.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for that information. And, you know, connection is really important, especially in this environment. So you touched on this a little bit, Sheila, about the different affirmations and incentives that you provide to your students. Can you talk a little bit more about what that could look like in a remote environment and how that keeps students engaged and interested?
Yep, absolutely. And especially like Nicole was saying, the transition into remote and when they're used to seeing their teachers and their classmates every single day, Monday through Friday, this is a big change. And so what we have done online and we continue to do right now, in the face of with all the changes going on, even with our students, is sending those affirmations and checking in. Like Nicole was saying, if a student hasn't logged in or hasn't submitted work, really checking in to make sure that they're okay. And then we also are highlighting, like if they were like from 1 week struggling and then the next week they were really showing a lot of success, is just sending those affirmations. We can call, my staff will call the students, the learning coaches, and also I do. The teachers also have students that I like to call. I send them a list and say, who would you like me to call? And I'll call into a principal kudos as well. So it just says they're being heard, they're being seen. So it's really been powerful with our students.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so thinking about students, educators are the other people who are impacted in the current situation. What are some strategies for keeping staff involved and promoting teamwork and collaboration in remote settings?
Really good question on that, because as the teachers are transitioning to remote, what I did was when my staff was off, they came back from their spring break and I held a Zoom meeting. And it really was a check-in, just to check in how they were, how their families were doing. We did a lot of staff highlights. I had put together just some highlights of everything that they were doing. Then we really went into focusing on the team and really just revisiting our approach, my approach, and what we're going to do to support our students. So I would really recommend having a set check-in with us, with your staff. That could be in Zoom, like we're in here, and if that's not the platform, another platform as well. Checking in and even having, like, I would recommend having a principal office hour where if staff needs to just go and check in with the principal and just making sure that if they have questions or need some clarifications. And also the other thing what I would recommend is if the teachers are able to have a one-spot shop where all the resources are, because I definitely understand that all the policies are changing, all the format, everything has changed so quick. So having like a one spot would really help teachers. One other recommendation that we do here in online, we always have a buddy, a teacher buddy. So when we do any sort of anything new, a new incentive or anything that we roll out, I always assign my group, each of my teacher has a teacher partner. So that way there's always someone either they can ask questions for, run ideas off as well. So those are just some ideas.
And I think just to add to what Sheila said is highlighting best practices. So to really focus on creating a staff culture, we do Catch Me at My Best. So staff get to nominate each other each week from ideas that they're implementing, reaching out to students with different strategies or ideas, and then that's just a great way for the staff to be acknowledged for taking risks. That's really important to do, because right now they will be very unfamiliar with going into some of these remote learning platforms. So highlighting the teachers that are going above and beyond, and then another thing is mentors. So if you do have newer staff that don't have a lot of resources in their toolbox, making sure they have a mentor or an expert in that area that they can reach out to and get support.
Great, thank you. The other question, so as educators are finding themselves in this new environment, it may be a challenge in terms of expectations and what's expected of the staff. What tips do you have related to outlining expectation in this situation for the staff members?
That's a really good question on that, especially with all the changes. I would recommend a set schedule. So for example, the teachers and the principal can work through and see which is the teaching time frame. What's the expectations? Looking at this, either a weekly staff meeting, a staff check-in, office hours for the principal, and then also really having that, we have it listed out here, thank you, Nicole, is a plan for that student escalation for non-engagement and resources, like who do they contact? Because in the classroom, so in the school setting, they were all in the building, but now you're going to need to have a list and those resources. And then the other thing, too, for the clear expectations would really just be those grade level requirements, and then even with grading for the really specific timeline. So if a student does submit some work, just what is that timeline for that teacher graded assignment? And then if the principal is going to set up those phone calls, like Nicole was talking about as well, is those check-ins, like how many is expected? And then what support for those non-engaged? And again, we really are big, we've said it quite a bit, is the affirmations that it's for your staff, but then also for the students. And then also tying it in there too is just the having that fun time for the staff, because they're used to seeing each other every single day, Monday through Friday. So even having a lunch, fun time with your staff, having that social lunch hour, the virtual meetings, like we've also incorporating the favorite activities to share out, like our staff, the departments are putting that together to send out to our students. Having lunch with the principal, that's something that I do with the students. It's optional. I put it on their schedule, and that's just a really great opportunity for me to connect with the students and check in on how they're doing as well.
Great, thank you. So I noticed on the slide you talk about Student Council or National Honor Society meetings. Can you talk about how those could look in a remote setting as well?
Yep, absolutely. So we do have our student government or your student leadership, depends on what schools call it. So we do have those. Those are all virtual meetings. Our student government is part of planning and organizing and leading all of it for our staff of the month. And then they do come to my staff meetings, and all of the student council comes and presents. And they have a certificate, and they even get kudos and affirmations from other students and put it all together. National Honor Society, for us, they meet weekly online every Wednesday. I have a National Honor Society team, and it's run exactly the same. The only difference, it's online. So they also are helping with, and we'll get to this soon, I'm sure, talking about our prom. We did move our prom to virtual, and so Student Council and also National Honor Society will be helping with that as well. So they're very active with our school.
Great, thank you. Okay, so you mentioned seniors, and so I'm gonna go ahead and go to that question that I have. This is a very difficult time for all, of course, especially students who are in their senior year. They're impacted in a little bit of a different way due to the special events that are being canceled or postponed. Prom, graduation ceremonies are some of the things that come to mind. So having been in a virtual environment, what are some of the things you can share about holding these types of events in an alternative setting?
Yep, absolutely. So the first thing that we did, we always had a face-to-face prom. That now has been moved into virtual. So we are going to use the virtual setting, Zoom, for that. And we could showcase some of our plan for that. For graduation, we did postpone our graduation. So we postponed ours until sometime in August with that. This year, we are, for the first time, we're going to do our College Decision Day. We're going to be doing that virtually for our seniors, and it's going to be a whole staff. We're all going to wear our college attire, and the students will be able to do that as well. So we're going to really highlight our seniors that way. The other thing that we're incorporating is our seniors will be getting a personalized handwritten letter from their counselors this year, as we're highlighting the last 4 years or 3 years, depends on how long that they've been with us. So those are some of the avenues that we're trying to help support our graduating seniors this year.
And Renee, I just wanted to share some folders that we'll share out with everyone on resources. So we did put together a prom section. And in virtual prom, we are going to, we did invitations and we emailed them out to every student to come to our virtual prom night. We are going to have different breakout rooms into Zoom. And those rooms will include having a DJ and music, a best attire contest. We're going to have an opportunity for staff to submit their prom photos and have our students guess which staff member that is, just to make that a little bit more fun. And we're going to have a light show in one of our breakout rooms. One of our teachers volunteered to create that activity for our students. So we are really trying to think outside the box of how to still incorporate these activities. One resource that I would like to recommend, there is a company right now that is helping do virtual graduations for our other schools that we work with in the nation. It's called Herf Jones Company, and they are doing professional videos and video ceremonies for school districts. There is a process to set it up, but I think that's just a recommendation if we were going, or if we have to move our graduation to virtual, to have a professional production company take slides of the seniors, your speakers, and put it together to live stream.
Great. And those are some really creative activities, the prom especially, and, you know, having a production company for graduation. And we definitely have to think outside the box with you know, the restrictions that we have in place with stay-at-home orders and so forth. Okay, so let's see, we talked about student engagement, communications, seniors. What about some general resources or strategies that you might share with others who are new to this environment, and or about any of the things that you talked about today?
And I can start, and I know Nicole will have some additional ones. One thing that's really been supportive with our students and our families and our staff is we've been putting together the COVID-19 family resources. So our teachers have that. We also have had a lot of office hours for our students, our families, and that's ongoing. And this is just some examples of what we started, and we started presenting this and sharing this out even middle of March when I was doing middle school to high school transition meetings. So I think that's a really big one. The other big one is really, like Nicole said, that point of contact. There's a lot of emails. Like, we are virtual, so there tends to be a lot of emails. So I would say with that one is really, really looking to see how many emails families are getting, and really fine-tuning and really picking if it's going to be, like Nicole said, a champion teacher who's going to be sending those communication, and having that one-stop area where families can go and get those resources. I think that's leads to a lot of questions, and having really a set time. So for families to know, especially even in high school, elementary, middle school, is what time, if they are doing a remote time, is what time is that schedule? And then having the plan of when assignments are due would be really clear and helpful for families.
And I think one additional information is for school leaders to think about if they are changing their gradebooks, because a lot of districts have the online gradebooks where parents can log into. But then when they're transitioning to remote learning, they're using different platforms. So how really create a very streamlined newsletter of what is expected of parents, what's expected from the teacher, and then what is expected from students, so that there is clear expectations. And then also like a step-by-step guide of how do parents find if their kids are having missing assignments. We really focus on training our parents a lot of how to navigate the system, how to identify if assignments aren't done for that day, in addition to if there is no clear system in the new remote learning opportunity, then how is the parent going to find out if the student completed it? And really reminding parents that a lot of them are still working during the day. So how, maybe give them quick tips. We have learning coach guide, like how to be a support to your student in 10 to 15 minutes. What does that look like? Well, the night before, help your student get organized, create a checklist, and then when you're done with your workday, have the student share what they got accomplished for the day. So like making it more accessible for the parents to support their student with how do you notify or how do you look to see if the student turned it in, and then how do parents become that person at home that is doing those daily check-ins with their student? Like again, making sure that every day or the night before, the parent helps the student get organized what that next day looks like, and then making sure that the parents are helping give parents strategies to have students share a few minutes about what they learned for the day, what they submitted, and sharing it. That's one thing we just really rely on our families to make sure that they're having those conversations with the students.
Thank you. So is there anything else you'd like to share in the way of resources or templates, or you mentioned some folders that we could share with everybody as well after our session today?
I would just say that when I was starting as an online teacher back in 2005, I used to always tell my families, take each day, which is also our parents. So we have teachers working, and now they, and as teachers are transitioning, take each day and celebrate the successes and celebrate the students. The students truly love to be with the teachers, and either face-to-face, remote, and so that would be my takeaway.
Thank you, Sheila.
Yeah, my takeaway is moving to remote learning, focus on the relationships and checking in with the student before you really dive into those academics. Making sure those students know that, hey, just because I can't see my teacher still notices when I'm doing my schoolwork and not, and my teacher is picking up the phone to talk to me or texting me or communicating through email that, hey, I want to help you, I want to support you, and just finding out what's going on. Relationships are really important. Here is the folder that we're going to share out, so we can go ahead and quickly share a little bit. In the communications plan folder, we have some examples in here about what a weekly assignment template looks like too. I would just encourage, if there are assignments going on, having teachers come up with a common form of how they're communicating with the students. So if students have 7 classes, that communication looks consistent. So we put that in here. We talked about really making sure that we're celebrating students in our newsletters and through different communications, sending out celebration charts. And then these are just some strategies we have in here for communication. For student engagement, we put in here some Excel phone script. We are capturing kids' heart schools, and we want to make sure that we, before we get into anything or not what the student's doing, that we really take time to explore. Like, what are your needs? How are things going before we get into the communication part of our message? We do clubs. So if schools have clubs, I would encourage them to think outside the box of how to have some remote clubs. Again, relationships, connections are so important right now. So how do you still create that environment? So we have some examples in here of our newsletters, our clubs, our April student virtual events. Are you guys able to see this when I click? Sorry. But this is
a little bit.
Okay. There's a ton of resources in here with S'mores newsletters and links of how just to create clubs and virtual, like we're having a virtual talent show in April. So kids can come into our remote learning classes and share their talents. So that we're really working on building a lot of connections and relationships right now and checking in on the kids.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for doing this session with me. I know being a former online teacher, you know, that we have this big shift in our education system right now, and a lot of the things that were our everyday occurrences for you are now, we see the whole state moving towards those type of environments. And so knowing that you have a wealth of knowledge to share, I really appreciate you guys being here today to share this information. Going forward, if there are districts or schools that have questions, would it be okay to share your contact information with them and they can reach out and get more information? So, all right. Thank you so much.